This summer, I took my family a couple times to the local theater. They had Thursday night, late night, fright night movies. Classics from the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. I saw some of you there. Kind of fun on some of these. My kids got their first experience ever of a black and white silent film. It was The Hunchback of Notre Dame, 1923, starring Lon Chaney. Now, I grew up with the 1939 remake of this movie, starring Charlton Lawton as Quasimodo and Maureen O'Hara as Esmeralda. And one of the scenes from the 1939 version that had always been burned into my memory, because I could never forget, was how after the whipping came of Quasimodo, everybody was laughing and jeering him, Esmeralda came up and gave him a cup of water. And throughout the rest of the movie, he was always trying to protect and help and care for Esmeralda. And he kept saying, "She gave me water. She gave me water." And I wish I could, maybe you need a teeth implant to say it the way that they did in the movie, but "She gave me water." So it was burning in my mind. So that's kind of the sermon for, that's what I'm taking for the title of my sermon today. The Gospel in Disney, Hunchback of Notre Dame, "She gave me water." Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Now Disney kept this same moving scene in their remake in the animated classic in 1996. Now we're using some of Disney's animated classics to help us see biblical truths in our lives. Disney, like all good art, speaks to the human condition, connects with us in the core of our being, illustrates how we are as humans and what we might become. And the Bible reveals God's response to our human condition and tells us his plan for how we can be all that he created for us to be. The story itself is based on an 1831 classic novel, Notre Dame de Paris, or in English, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. By the way, he also wrote Les Mis in 1862. Well, it's set in medieval Paris, centered around the Gothic Cathedral Notre Dame. The name is Latin for Our Lady, referring to Mary, Notre, Our, Dame, Lady. And many of the cathedrals in France are named Notre Dame, being strong Roman Catholic country that it is, naming their cathedrals after Mary. Well, Disney took up this story and created the most Christian of all their movies, of all their animated classics. They worked a lot with the cathedral, with the stained glass, with the images of light and dark, of truth and lies, of prayers, songs of worship, faith. The story begins in 1482 at the cathedral steps. Some Roma people, who are called gypsies, were taking a severely deformed baby to the cathedral. And the city judge, Frollo, was supposed to be such a great man of the church, but is actually corrupt, power-hungry, and controlling. And he made his personal campaign to drive out all of these gypsies. Well, he chases after one of the women, and in his zeal, accidentally kills her. Now, the cathedral archbishop comes out, and who sees all of this, sentences Judge Frollo to care for this baby, in order to make atonement for his crimes. Well, the next scene is 20 years later, when Quasimodo, now 20 years old, and Quasimodo is again a Latin word, quasi meaning half, and modo meaning formed. So he's given the name, "You're half formed." For Frollo has kept Quasimodo at the cathedral, where he became a bell ringer. He's provided his food and clothing, but all the while telling him he was a freak, a half man, a monster. He had to stay in the bell tower. And so Quasimodo, at age 20, believes he's a monster. Well, our first clip we're going to see from the movie is when Quasimodo brought Esmeralda to the bell tower. And this is a scene from later on in the movie, but you see this exchange about his identity. Is he really a monster, like Frollo said? Esmeralda is a gypsy who Frollo says is evil. But is she? Frollo calls him a monster. But is he, really? He may be deformed on the outside, but we see that as a person, he is kind, courageous, gentle, and stands up for others. Frollo looks like a Christian, a man of high standing in the city and in the church. But his character is corrupt. So here we have the main question of the story. Who is the monster? And who is the man? Frollo, it seems, is based on self-righteous Pharisees and Jewish leaders of the New Testament. They look righteous in their appearance, but their hearts are selfish. Jesus calls them hypocrites. That's a word from the Greek theater, meaning play acting. See, they don't do what they do because they mean it. They do it because they're just acting it out to look good. And in Luke 18, 9 through 17, Jesus tells this parable against them. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and they give a tenth of all that I get. The tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up into heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. In the movie, Frollo prays a prayer exactly like this self-righteous person from Jesus' parable.
Thank you.
Frollo represents the worst in religious people. Pastors, leaders, Christians, who can become so self-righteous, look down upon others, think themselves better. It's religion gone bad. And we all have this in us. I am a recovering Pharisee. We all have that tendency to start ranking ourselves above others because we don't do those things. We don't get caught into those things. We don't behave in those ways. And it happens when you don't notice. Start looking down on what my friends call, one of my friends call, the great unwashed. Disney shows Frollo's obsession with driving out the gypsies, going so far as to purge them in any way needed. He calls them vermin in the movie, insects. Adolf Hitler also called the gypsies vermin. Do you know that besides killing over 6 million Jews, Hitler also targeted the Roma people, had over 500,000 of them murdered as well. All done in the name of religion. This pride can lead to some pretty awful things. Who is the monster? Who is the man? Man, human. Human means to be kind, courageous, stand up for others, truly righteous, caring. A monster destroys, tears down, even in the name of faith. We all have this monster inside, a desire to rank others lower, put them beneath us, to hurt them. The Bible calls this sin. We see it right after the fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve's two sons that had been kicked out of the garden quarrel over religion of all things. The first fight in the Bible is over religion. And it's about ranking. Whose is better? And then Cain kills Abel. The first killing in the Bible is over religion. A couple of chapters later, the story of Noah and the ark, the Bible says that the hearts of humans are violent and always violent. Sin is destroying. God creates and builds up. Sin tears down. Now, one of the masterful moves that Disney did in this movie was how they portrayed this ranking, this hurting, this violence inside each of us, how it can move from me as an individual around to a whole group. It's contagious. It spreads like fire. Watch in this next clip how the people of the crowd go from laughing with Quasimodo to being shocked at the violence being done to him and then joining in and making it worse. It spreads.
Thank you.
crowd quickly and easily slides into joining into the violence. When I was in grade school, I remember vividly an awkward girl with glasses. Her name was Shanella Haugen. She had eyes that wobbled. I sort of considered her my friend. We talked now and again. Well, one day, a bunch of boys had cornered her on the playground. They were teasing her about her eyes, calling her a freak, stupid, loser. I had walked over just to see what all the commotion in the crowd was about. And I froze. Here she was, being mocked and laughed at. And I didn't do anything. I just stood there. I was so scared of everyone turning on me, too. I've had my Shanella Haugen moments many times after that. We have them as adults, too, not just on school playgrounds. A co-worker is bad-mouthed, we say nothing. A neighbor crabs about another, we do nothing. We overhear side comments made about other people at the store. We keep on going. A slur against someone else is made at the coffee shop. We keep drinking our coffee. Now, we may not be so brash as to say Frollo's prayer. But standing around silent while terrible things are happening is just as bad. We need to speak out and say, this isn't right. And the amazing thing is that in cases like this, one person speaking up, one person standing up can make a huge difference. How I have wanted to go back and find Shanella Haugen and tell everybody to shut up. When someone does, those who are frozen, scared, can also voice, this isn't right. In the movie, Esmeralda stands up. She gave him water, and it changed him. Throughout the Bible, we see a God who is concerned about those who are small, pushed down, overlooked, persecuted, victimized. Psalm 72, 12 through 14. For God will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will have pity on the weak and the needy and save them from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. And this God calls his people to speak up. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. The monster is inside all of us. We put others below ourselves. We say things that hurt, or we stand there silent. But the Bible also reminds us that Esmeralda is also inside each of us too. We can be bold and courageous. We can be the man, or in biblical terms, fully human, when we stand up for what is right. Not long ago, in part of a conversation, I was around, rude comments were made about a politician. Not uncommon in our current climate. But another person in the group said, we should respect those in power like we would anybody else. It completely changed the whole conversation. But it caught me. Why hadn't I said it? And I committed next time to be the one who said it first. This is the gospel charge. Look at others as valuable. Speak out against belittling them. Be the first to jump in and say, this isn't right. Stand with the least, the lost, the left out. I want to be that person. I want to be the one who gives him water. The movie shows a prayer time in the cathedral. Esmeralda is praying for her people. In the background, the religious people are all there praying too. But they're praying for their own benefits, bounty, blessings. And the scene captures well how the outcast prays a godly prayer, while the godly pray a selfish prayer. On our prayers sound a little bit too much like those people. Bless me. Make me better. Help me out. Give me more. Now, this isn't always bad. We are biblically charged to pray for ourselves, yes. To some degree, our relationship with God is about you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. You need to have that abundant life that God plans for you. And you need that future glory promised for you. But this is all the farther you get, then you're missing out on a real relationship with Jesus. You can be stuck in narcissism. This is that monster inside of us again showing up. And our religion can become another outlet for our narcissism. Jesus is all about me, blessing me, making my life better. But this Jesus in the Bible, who lives today, calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That means taking and giving. That means loving ourselves and loving others as ourselves. In the very first chapter of Mark, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Now, many times, Jesus had healed people without ever touching them. But this time, with a leper, whom everyone else avoided and who hadn't felt the touch of a human hand for years, Jesus, as he healed him, reached out and touched him, put his hand on the man. Quasimodo is like this leper in the movie. Esmeralda reached out and touched him. And then, for the rest of the story, Quasimodo reaches out and touches and heals and helps her and others. Jesus' followers are to be Jesus' hands, Jesus' voice. We stand up. We stand with when no one else will. We speak up when no one else will. We reach out and touch those whom no one else will. Frollo is the real monster here. And Quasimodo and Esmeralda are the real man. Both are in us. Again, right now, that can be for us. We can choose the monster or the man. So, this morning, right here, before we go any farther, let's choose the man, the human. Let's commit to live into the people that God created us to be his voice, his hands, his heart, to a world filled with people wondering if they're worth it. Let's live this week in a way so that others will say about us, "She gave me water. She gave me water." Amen.